coming soon. Get ready for the theme park at the end of the universe. Soon, every girl, boy, and semi-intelligent shade of blue will get to enjoy this magnificent park, 7.5 million years in the making. Chug pan-galactic gargle blasters with your whole family as you follow the guide around to the different themed areas, which are still top secret. You'll have the best time in your life, the universe, and everywhere at this fabulous park. So don't forget that the theme park at the end of the universe will be opening soon. Get your tickets now. Just send a letter to Theme Park at the End of the Universe, 42 Improbability Drive, the End of the Universe. Not responsible if the park gets demolished by Vogans before you get there. No refunds.
And welcome to We're All Yankovics.
We're all Yankovics.
Yes, yeah, I got it right. Hey, I mean, I didn't say it with the fancy voice or anything,
you
but I got the title.
Well, I'll do the fancy voice. You do your normal
voice. You do the fancy voices, yeah. Today, we're talking about Twister.
Twister.
Yeah, from Even Worse, the album, and it was released in 1988.
Yeah. I remember.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
So this is honestly a song I had never heard until I started doing research for the show. I don't know how I missed it.
How do you? Well, it's not very long.
What's that?
It's easy to miss.
Yeah.
It's wedged in between a couple songs, which I should know because I've listened to this album a billion times.
Yeah, but it's at the end of an album, and I think that I didn't necessarily have the albums at the time because I think I was just young enough that like I wasn't getting Weird Al albums. I mean, like really Off the Deep End was really my like first bye-bye album. So like the earlier stuff, I had heard most of it, and as I go back,
only one album later. So
well, oh yeah, exactly.
Two, I guess.
But it's just one of those things where it's like, okay. And I listen to some of those albums, and I'm like, is this a greatest hits? And then you're like, no, this is just how many. So you're like, I know so much about it, yet Twister was one of the things that fell through the cracks. And I mean, we kind of talked about it with Harvey earlier, but you know, this is one of those songs where it is a little bit of like, being done like
another palate cleanser.
This is a filler, like dude, he's like, I gotta put something on this album.
Well, if you listen to that album, there's really not, as far as like most of his albums go, there's not as many parodies on that one. One has more originals than any other. I just don't know if he got denied with my stuff or just wanted to kind of rush it out and didn't have as many as he normally would in the you know bank. But I think maybe this is something like, well, we need another song, I don't have any more parodies coming, so let's just do this. So that's one thing I've noticed about that album, and it's also the only one with no polka.
We'll talk
about that later.
So style parody kind of the rap in that day, but
mainly
Beastie Boys.
Yes, for sure.
That's about it. I mean, the one thing that I did find out, and I didn't know this, and then once I found it out, it made a little bit more sense. Okay, 75% of the song is directly the commercial from back in the 60s.
I would venture as far as 90 to 95%. I think it's pretty much just the commercials with Homeboy and Illen thrown in there.
No, because that whole, the Illen verse is actually something about like, you got to take your shoes off to play on this wacky mat or something like that.
Yeah.
So like that's several line, but for the most part, all the other stuff, even the weird like breakdown section where they're like left foot, blue, green, that in the original commercial.
Yep, red, orange, yellow, green.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like, once you realize that, it makes a little bit more sense. But at least to me, it makes me feel I want more. Like if he's going to do a Beastie Boys style reference, actually do it.
Right. That's the one thing that's disappointing. That's the only thing he's really done with Beastie Boys, and he could do so much more with them. But then again, it was kind of early in their career. They really only hit like 84, 85.
Yeah.
Most, they really, really blew up after that point where in the early 90s, where Intergalactic and all that stuff really like really got the mainstream. So
yeah.
I wish he had revisited them later
in
their career.
He totally
could have done more. But you know, for a reference, I think that was, if I'm not wrong, that was his very first rap song at all. He had never done any foray into rap at all, so it was very new to him. He's actually gotten really, really, really good at rap since then.
Yeah.
But at the moment, it was kind of a subculture kind of genre, so he just
I feel like he squeezed as much as he could out of this little tiny song.
Right. It was a simple idea. He's done a similar thing with other songs where he takes something that's already existing, like Beverly Hillbillies theme,
yep.
and crammed into another song or genre.
Actually, the next song we're talking about is that even more.
Yes.
So, but...
We'll get there.
We'll make it that mysterious.
But I loved it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's sort of like when we talked about Harvey the Wonder Hamster, where there's like so many parts of it that you're just like, can I have a little bit more? Like,
yeah.
like, and it, but it goes by so quick. And even the end, the thing that I really enjoy is at the end, he's like, MB, like that.
Yeah.
That's on the commercial too. Yep. The shortened down Milton Bradley, mm-hmm. like, and you're just like that.
Yes. It was perfect. It was really so perfect to the genre, and it was so Beastie Boys, and yeah, the whistle and the scratching, everything in it. It's as all Weird Al style parodies. It's perfect to all the details.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
got everything that needs to be in there. It just wasn't long enough. But,
for
what it is, though, it couldn't be any longer. It's a parody of a short 30-second commercial.
Yeah.
So I think he was more than 30 seconds, so
yeah.
I guess he did expand it.
I was looking for more information about this. I read a 10-page article from 1996, okay, in Grand Royal, which was the Beastie mm-hmm. Boys' own magazine.
Right.
Named after their recording... Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
company,
studio, yeah.
whatever production company. And in that, Mike D and Russell Simmons, okay, interview Weird Al for 10 whole pages, including things like ordering food and talking to the waitress, right? Spike Jones keeps coming in, pretends to be like this weird character, and keeps coming back like every two pages. It's the craziest thing you've ever read, okay. They don't talk about this parody.
That's bizarre. Ever.
They never mention this. And I'm just like, how do you not?
I don't get that. Maybe just didn't come up. Maybe got sidetracked with other stuff. But I remember reading something. I wish I could cite my sources, but I've read a lot of stuff about Weird Al over the years. I remember reading something about this song where they said the Beastie Boys thought it was fantastic. Paraphrasing, something along that. I wish I could find it, but I couldn't find it. But it's out there.
The only thing that let me stop and go on to the next song, uh-huh. okay, was that I finally found an AV Club article where they interview Weird Al, and then by the end of it, they're talking about like just random songs, okay, and one of them is Dumb and Ugly,
Young, Dumb, and Ugly. Yes,
and they. Sort of reference, hey, that sounds, it's got a little bit of a Beastie Boys influence for some strange reason, which doesn't make any sense. But then Weird Al at least takes that moment and goes, oh, I did a Beastie Boys song. It's called Twister. And then the one thing he gives up is the fact that the song that's on the album is his first take. Usually it takes him like 20 takes, he says, to get a song. But every time he got better at the song and made it like,
Crisper.
It sounded less like the Beastie Boys. And he was like, it's not an insult. It's just the Beastie Boys, especially that early stuff, is just so raw and so like homemade DIY feel. Sort of like the punk of rap kind of, you know what I mean? Like, And he's like, so that first take was just...
That's the one that sounded best.
The one that sounded best.
That's
so
awesome.
That's the take that he used. So that's the piece of information we have about this.
Well, there you go. That's something.
And I found that before I found out that it was the original was based on the original commercial. So I found that, and then I saw on the Weird Al forum somebody go, "Oh, it's based on this commercial," and I'm like, "Those are the two pieces I needed. Thank you. Now everything makes sense.
Now you can sleep.
I can sleep. Yeah, exactly. So that's
Twister.
That. Yeah, exactly. Twister. We are going to move to our let's do our lyrics. What's your favorite lyric from the song?
Oh, my favorite lyrics for that one. I actually Oh, man.
You go first. Yeah, I'll go first. Mine is, now everybody's chillin' wherever things are illin'. And that's the thing that I referenced earlier. They originally had talked about, like, taking your shoes off. You have to play in your socks and play on this mat. He took those lines out, and he put in those things that are so Beastie Boy.
Right.
That you're like, okay, no.
That, and it reminds you of what mine was, is the other one like that. Like, all the girls and homeboys playing Twister. I just kind of like the girls and homeboys, the way you said it. It really just like hit the Beastie Boys, the way you say homeboys.
Yeah, yeah. And he does.
I loved it.
He
it
does
great.
two of the Beastie Boys too. Like, that's the amazing thing is he's able to like, he's not just Mike D or MCA. He's like he does two different voices, and you could totally
I could hear he does a similar thing in Dare to Be Stupid, where he does the both the voices, the mother's balls in Devo. Same type of thing of a deeper one and a higher one. I love it.
Yeah, it's very cool. Let's go to our segment, Back in My Day.
Back in My Day. Yes, we have a guest coming in here. He's talking about, relating to the song, things that you may not know that from an older person's perspective, correct? That's the gist of it?
No.
No? What? Am I completely wrong?
He's only saying one line, and then we're going to talk about it.
Well, okay. Well, I mean, no, but yes.
So we're going to Back in My Day.
All right, Back in My Day. All right, here he is. Come on in here to talk about Back in Your Day.
He doesn't have to walk in.
Gotcha.
Just gonna be right there.
No, he needs to walk in. He's out there.
No, we don't have the time.
He's walking in. Give him some time. He's walking.
How long?
He's old.
He's going to take forever to get
here. He is. He's here. Jeez, give the guy some time. Oh. Patience. Respect your elders, for God's sakes. Whippersnapper, here he is. Back in my day, oatmeal only had one flavor.
Thank you, Orson. Okay, that was a lot of time to get that out, but
he's walking away.
We're moving on. Yes, good.
Bye. Shut the door. Sorry.
Usually, we talk on this segment about stuff that doesn't make any sense to people. Like, we're trying to inform the masses a little bit, but this time around, it's really going to be just sort of a history lesson on Twister as a thing.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a game. It was developed in 1966. By Geyer Sr. and Jr. They also brought two other people in, Flay and
Fella Flay?
Rabins or something like that.
Wow.
It's a group of four people. They had this idea. They came up with it. They filed a patent. It's U.S. patent 3,454,279.
Of course.
Yeah, exactly.
We all know that, though. Something we don't know, Charlie.
It was originally called Pretzel.
Really?
Yes, and had been based on a game called King's Footsie.
King's Footsie.
King's Footsie.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Twister's a much better name.
Well, the idea was that they wanted to come up with a board game-like thing, only using human beings as the pieces.
Gotcha.
And so that's what got them started on this role. When Milton Bradley bought them, that's when it got changed to Twister.
Yeah, Milton Bradley's a genius. He knows.
Yep, and it was failing. It was almost pulled from shelves, and then they got it on the Johnny Carson Tonight Show.
Huh.
Okay, and Johnny and Eva Gabor played it.
Really?
Yeah, which is really funny because I think that's black and white, so you don't even understand that the dots are different colors. Like, the clip I saw, at least, was definitely black and white, I also definitely saw the commercial in black and white.
Huh.
And I'm like, how do you do that?
That's
like,
why it was failing. Exactly. People didn't know what the heck it was when they saw the commercial. Gray and black dots.
When they saw two people like reaching all over each other, they were like, yeah.
That
he said
good.
That like next day people were lined up outside to like buy copies of that because they wanted it.
The power of Johnny.
Yeah, exactly. It became Game of the Year in 1967.
Wow.
It was in the National Game Hall of Fame in 2015. Hmm. It was inducted with puppets.
Huh.
As a like just a general thing, and the Super Soaker.
Super Soaker, wow.
Yeah, so it's toys. It's the Toy Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Super Soaker didn't take very long then.
Wow. No, jeez. Not really in comparison. That Johnny Carson. So it was in May 3rd, 1966.
That's some weird, wacky stuff.
Yeah. Some people criticized them as saying that Milton Bradley was selling sex in a box.
Yeah,
because they were like, ooh, but I think that's what everybody liked about it. You don't have to. You don't have to. You might want to, but you don't have to. Milton Bradley, also another thing to make us feel old, Milton Bradley no longer exists.
What?
They were bought by Hasbro in 1984.
Uh-huh.
Hasbro then bought Parker Brothers. For a while, they were still using the name, but as of 2009, everything's known as Hasbro Games now. They've basically gotten rid of Milton Bradley.
I didn't
and Parker
know
Brothers.
That. I've never noticed there's no MB around anymore.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So now don't you feel old?
I feel really
old.
Wow.
Yeah. Another fun thing that I found, Bill and Ted play Twister as one of their games when they defeat Death in the second movie. Yes,
I remember that.
Yeah. So that was just another fun pop culture reference. Like we said, not a lot about the song we could talk about, but at least maybe we've informed you about the game a little bit. You played Twister, I'm assuming. I played Twister.
I actually have around the house somewhere, yes.
Somewhere, yeah.
Yes, here somewhere in the house.
It's a good one to keep. It's a good one to keep. Fun little note, we're done the old segment, so I think he's just finally closing the door. Yeah, okay, good. Later, Weird Al covered the Beastie Boys in Polka Power.
Yep.
When he did Intergalactic
as part of the easy for me to say segment. Intergalactic. Yes. Yep.
Exactly. So all we've got left is the ratings.
The ratings, yes. 1 to 5 colored dots. 5
colored dots. Yep. There we go.
All right. On this one, I love the Beastie Boys. I wish it was longer. I think it's really, really good for what it was. I'm going to go 4.
4?
I'm going to go 4 colored dots. Okay.
I'm going to go 3.5.
I didn't know you could do a point.
Yeah. 3.5. Are you going to change
this? No, okay. I'm sticking with 4.
Well, we got to have a little bit of range because it is. It's better than Harvey the Wonder Hamster, I think. Yeah. Because we just talked about that. But it leaves so much more want. You know what I mean? Like, it's not... Most songs you want to be like, I don't want to feel sick by the end of the song of the song. I want a little bit more, but this makes you almost want twice as much. And
I agree.
That's worse.
I agree.
So I'm going 3.5 for this. I have a feeling our scale is going to really change because I think these are not necessarily the best songs.
I think we're starting a little high.
We might be starting a little high.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we go to 10.
I think the next song will be nice and bring it back down.
You make a good point. I'm gonna knock it down to 3 just for future, reference.
Well, then I'm going to have to go
2.5.
There
we go.
And I'm going to send my Harvey score down to 2.
Oh, I will as well. I will also knock Harvey down to a 2.
Oh, poor Harvey.
Wow, Harvey just got lost 2 points in the next episode.
Oh,
man, Harvey. Sorry.
Sorry, I wonder if we could keep
at least he's immortal.
Yes,
at least he's an immortal.
He's a wonder hamster. We know that. Okay. Like we talked about before, you can contact us. We're all Yankovics. WERELL Yankovics with an S at the end of it. That's our Gmail account for email. You can also call us up at the Weird Line.
Weird Line. Okay.
The Weird Line. That's 302-72 Weird. 302-729-3473. Tell us your Weird Al experiences. We'd love to hear anything you can say. Your favorite Weird Al song, a favorite moment, a favorite time from a concert you went to, or even like a moment in your life that was like affected by Weird Al. Was he one of those people that you listened to in your room in high school after you got dumped by Mary at the prom?
Did he save you from drowning?
Yeah, exactly. You never know. I mean, hey, man, Harrison Ford can save people from like random things.
Why can't Weird Al?
Weird Al should
be. I'm sure he's saved several people.
Yes, we have to get to the bottom of that.
Yes.
By the end of this podcast, we will find out
how many
people Weird Al has saved.
I'm going to say like 4.5.
4.5 people.
Yeah, one didn't quite make it.
Well, then he didn't really save them.
He's still alive, but...
Okay.
Quality of life, maybe.
Is he stuck in an iron lung?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get to that one, too.
Yeah, exactly. But that's it for We're All Yankovics.
We're All Yankovics.
We'll catch you on the next episode.
Bye-bye.